We're thankful to God for a new day. He's blessed us to be here today, and it's good to be here with all of you. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the minister of this congregation, Mary's minister, and many of her family members as well as have obeyed the gospel here and are members of this congregation. So we're thankful to God for his many blessings of life. Certainly, God has been good, isn't he? God is good, not just some of the time, but God is good all the time. One of the things that's hard to wrap your head around is the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. How can death of a mother be good? How could the death of the grandmother be good? How could the death of my wife be good? How couldn't the death of a child be good? Ever thought about that? Well, the Bible talks about how when a person dies, it's not called a funeral in the Bible, it's called the house of mourning, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. Why is that? What God wants to do with death is bring us a reminder that we too are going to die. And if this mother's death causes her children to stop and listen to the truth, if the death of this wife causes her husband to stop and listen to the truth, if it causes her grandchildren, her brothers and sisters, biological friends and family and neighbors to stop and listen to God, and they obey God as a result of her death, all things, including death, anything that brings us closer to God was good for us. As a result of a grandson, DeCorian, he came here one day and I taught him. We're on a short time frame today because we got to get to the grave site. So I'm going to be very brief. But as a result of that young man being baptized here, we baptized his mother, his father, Brother Sister Oles, and there come his grandmother and then sisters and brothers and aunties and uncles. And I'm saying this to you all. One thing I know about this woman is she would say to us, trying to get all of my family to come hear this. She was a family woman. If I could get my boys to hear this, she would always say that going out the door. Well, Sister Mary, all of them here. Amen. All things work together for good. So you're going to hear the basic truth. Here's what I want you to know about me. When I was 24 years old, I lost a little brother in a car wreck. I tell this story, I've been preaching for 35 years, and I've been telling it every time I get a chance. I grew up in the Baptist church, great faith, great people of faith, people of faith, good people, wonderful people. All my family were. And I'm saying to the young folk, my little brother got killed in a car wreck at 20, but he never got to hear what I'm going to tell you. After going through deep depression for a 3-month period, I visited Church of Christ, and that's where you all are today. And there I witnessed them singing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. They would pray. Men did the service. There were no women preachers. There was no women working in services. Men led the services. They took communion every Sunday. They didn't tithe. Collection plate run around once, and nobody begged for the money. That was odd to me, because I grew up calling the man Reverend, and Bible said holy reverence God's name. I grew up being told that God here that we're sinners. Oh, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. That's where I grew up hearing. I grew up believing that you could take the Lord's Supper once a month, once a Sunday, once a week, or once a month, rather, on the first Sunday. You know what I learned? The Bible don't teach none of that. The Bible teaches just the opposite of that. So when I met the old famous sister, Mary came to one of my classes, and I taught her this, and I'm going to share it with you. Because she's a family woman. I would want my family to know this basic truth. Number one, everybody need to look at your family portraits. We just lost one in this family portrait. That face is faded. But there are some children in that portrait still living. There are some grandchildren in this portrait that's still living. There's her brothers and sisters and friends and family that in this portrait, family members in this portrait I've been looking at in this book, they're still alive. So you have to ask yourself the question, who's next? Because certainly there will be another face in this portrait that would fade. Will it be her grandchildren? Will it be her sons? Will it be her daughter? Will it be her husband? Who will it be? Will it be a neighbor? So what would a person say if they had a chance to come back from the dead? In Luke 16, we find an account where a rich man and Lazarus. Amen. Lazarus was a rich man. The rich man died. Lazarus died. He was a beggar. The rich man died. He died as well. If you look at those two gentlemen, you'd think the rich man had it going on. But when he died, he was in torment. Then they had this beggar. You look at him, you think he had no chance, no relationship with God. But the angel escorted him to Abraham's bosom. And then the rich man started to speak. I pray you go back and tell my family. Go back and tell them. He said, nah, they got Moses and the prophets. Why go tell them? They're not going to believe from the dead. Here's Moses and the prophets. Here's what I want to say. Sister Mary wanted all her friends to hear what she did to be saved. Here's what she done. Number one, you got to believe in this book 100%. It's called the Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Some people say it's basic instruction before leaving earth. I say it's believer's instruction before life ends. Let me say that one more time. It's a believer's instruction before life ends. Your life will end. But did you believe these instructions? So what instructions did I give her from this book? Number one, I asked everyone, do you believe the Bible is right? Say, yes, I believe the Bible is right. Anyone have no problem believing anything I'm going to tell you? Here's the first thing you need to know from this book. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Notice this. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. That knocks out a sinner's prayer. John 9:31. The blind man that got healed by mud and spit. They start calling Jesus a sinner. The blind man said, John 9:31, now we know. From the Old Testament he knew. God hear not sinners. My brother was told to pray a sinner's prayer. I just told you. God here is not a sinner. How many times we got to be wrong before we're wrong? The Bible is always right. Number two, every funeral I went to growing up was a homegoing celebration. John 8:21, Jesus said, I go my way. You shall seek me. You shall die in your sins. Where I am, you cannot come. No one can go to heaven that dies in their sins. You say, what, Brother Brooks? No, don't believe this thing. Or everybody's going to heaven. That's not true. Jesus, my faith, going to be some people who are believers, not Muslim. I'm not talking about Muslim or Buddhist. I'm talking about people who call themselves Christians. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, listen to this carefully. He said, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, here they are. Did we not prophesy in your name, cast out devils in your name, and done many wonderful works? These were believers in Christ. Verse 23, he says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. There's going to be some shocked believers in Christ on the day of judgment. Why? They're workers of iniquity. In other words, when you do what you want to do and don't do what this says, that's an iniquity. That's an iniquity. And that's what the problem we have today in religion, in the religious world. So my point I'm getting at is this family need to understand. Number one, you better get something done about your sins before you die. God don't hear you, so don't try to pray to be saved. That's what I taught her. Number two, you could die in your sins and not go to heaven. So what do we do, Brother Brooke? Does God love the world? John 3:16, sure he does. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, shall not. Many times we hear it quoted, shall not. It should not. You should not perish. Because God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16 and 17. So God loves sinners? Absolutely. What did he do? He sends his son. How do we know he loved us? His son came from heaven's glory. God so loved the world, he gave his son. His son took off his robe of divinity, put on a robe of humanity, walked among me in 33 years. Then they took God's child, his only son, and he went to, as a death row inmate, went to the Garden of Gethsemane, asked his father to let this cup pass. God did not let the cup pass. He let him die for us. He left that garden. They arrested him. He went to trials at nighttime, all illegal. They took Jesus, God's only child, beat him with a whip called a flagellum, called it scourging. Stripes were left all over his body. Blood was all over him. They put a cloak on him, and they led him up a hill called Calvary, or Golgotha, or the place of the skull. And there, my friends, they killed Jesus Christ, God's only son. They executed him by crucifixion. The word excruciating comes from the word crucifixion. He went through tremendous pain to save this woman. He went through tremendous pain and had to shed blood to save us. And the world should not be lost if we believe. They took him down off the cross, buried him in a borrowed tomb. He got up Sunday morning on the first day of the week. That's why we go to a church building on the first day of the week. But we don't go to church. We really come to worship. The church of the believers, the ecclesia, those who will call out according to the gospel. And so what I'm getting us to see is that he got up and gave one command, Mark 16:15-16. He says, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Brother Rick said, what is the gospel? Well, according to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, the gospel is the fact that Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins according to the scripture. That's good news to sinners. Why? If we don't believe it, we're going to lose our souls. If you believe it, then you know God loved you. Then you know Jesus loved, greater love than no man it is. Then he laid down his life for his friend. She was his friend. She was his friend. He died to save her soul. He died to save my soul and your soul. Yeah, and so he told her, he said, he that believed that story, the gospel story, and is baptized shall be saved. That's what I told him. She heard it, number one, Acts 15:7. Number two, she believed it. This family woman believed. Now, she wanted a whole family to hear this gospel story. The story that of God will love you in your sinful condition and send his child to watch him get beat up and murdered on a cross for you. When she heard it, she repented of everything she had done in the past, made her decision. Jesus said, I tell your neighbor, except you repent, you'll perish. She changed. What a repentance. You got to change when you find you're wrong. She wasn't right. She was religious, but she hadn't obeyed the truth. Then she made a confession. The confession was, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you haven't heard this before, let me be first to warn you. Don't die without making that confession. Because every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Upon that confession, we baptize her right here in water for the remission of her sins. Not 2 weeks later, not next year. Soon as they make that confession, we baptize. Why? You are not saved until you are baptized. Why? What's in the water? Blood. Revelation 1:5. The same blood that was shed on the cross is the blood that will wash your sins away in baptism. Why baptism? Because Jesus commanded it. Why question it? Just do what he said do. After all God done for us, all we need to do is just do what he said do for us. And she did. She believed it with all of her heart. She repented. We baptized her. And she was added the third thing I want you to leave with. Two things. God don't hear a sinner. Don't die in your sin because you can't go to heaven. Number three, the Bible said in Acts 2:47, praising God and having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, so you should be saved. Watch this. He adds, no one joined the church in the Bible. He added to the church. The church belongs to Christ. He's the head of the church. Now, how did he purchase the church with blood? Acts 20:28. So the church belongs to him. Now, here's what you need to hear. Is the Bible says, Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. Ephesians 1:22 tells us the body is the church. Colossians 1:18 says the body is the church. The Bible says there's one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all and in you all. So if there's one God from this book, that's what we believe. If there's one Lord, that's Jesus. The one Father one God is the Father. The one Son is Jesus. The one Lord. The one Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The one baptism, the water baptism that Sister Mary had that was taught according to the truth. There's water and blood in there. When they pierced Jesus in the side, out came water and blood. Two essential elements to save your soul. Then, if you believe all the ones, then in that same passage, there's one body, which is one church. So I said, Sister Mary, there's only one church in the Bible. Which one is it, son? Well, let's go back to the Bible and read it. In Romans 16:16, the Bible says, salute one another, holy kiss the churches of Christ. Salute you. That's why I'm no longer Baptist. Not because of people, but it ain't in the book. So I'm talking about me. You talk about you. I'm talking about me. And I went back and told my family when I found out. And that's what Sister Mary wanted her family to hear. She wanted them to hear what I'm doing. I know I'm doing what she wanted me to do. She wanted you to hear this. When you're added to the church, when you're baptized, you're added to the true church. The true church is called the Church of Christ in the Bible. And there you sing, you pray, you give, you take a collection. We don't tithe, and we take communion every Sunday. That's how she closed her life. That's how she worshiped. I would say to this family, there are some fading faces coming, more to come. But will all of you all really, after all you've said about her, will you use the wisdom that she used? Amen. Is that she prepared her death for her death, believing a narrow belief. Jesus said, any end of the straight gate, but wide is the gate and broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many will go that way. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way to lead to life. And notice what it says, few there be that find it. I say to her grandchildren, and her brothers, sisters, and friends, and family members, you heard the truth. You can't say on the day of judgment, nobody told you. One of the reasons I'm a preacher, not so I can have a big chair and so you can call me Reverend, I can drive a Cadillac and have my name on it. The reason I'm a preacher, because nobody told my family these basic truths. But I gave you the truth today. And it's recorded on a CD. And the CDs are free, and I won't run, I'll be at the door. Why? Your soul is too precious to put this off. I would say to the friends and family, if you say, Brother Brooks, I want to obey what my grandmother, we'll baptize you today, not next year, this today. And you can be added to the true church, and you can obey the truth, and you stay with the truth, and don't ever, ever leave it. Now, let me just say in closing, there was a time when a little boy was pushing his brother down the sidewalk in a wheelchair. Wheelchair tipped over in the ditch. The little boy was trying to get his brother out of that ditch, and he couldn't get him up. And so he started throwing rocks at cars, and no cars would stop. And the only thing left to throw was a brick. So the young man picked up the brick, and he aimed carefully at the next car coming by, and he hit it in the side with a brick, and the man in the car stopped and backed up and said, what are you doing hitting my new car with that brick? He said, sir, I've been throwing rocks all day. It wouldn't nobody stop. There's the brick. He stopped all of you with the brick. The question is, what will it do for you? Because God been throwing rocks at you. I'm talking to the family now. He's been throwing rocks at you. But then he threw a brick. What is the good
You learn the simple truth. Obey it before you die. Amen.
I've done what I would want you to do for my family. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the minister of this church. And we believe that the Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. She say, Brother Brooks, give me my hug. I say, Sister Mary, I gave your last hug to your family on your behalf. Amen. May God bless you. We got to get to the cemetery so you can get over there before 4 o'clock. At this time, the CDs are free for you. We'll have them for you when you come back. May God bless. Back to the hands of the